keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a day it is. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, and we are anxiously awaiting President Trump's remarks to the nation. That takes place a little bit later on this evening, and we're already getting word that a number of congressional Democrats in the House are expected to cause some sort of a disruption. And we don't know what that means, but we've just been told to prepare for some sort of incidents within the House chamber. Now, look, here's the deal. I don't think President Trump is going to care one way or the other, and the president will actually call them out. I have no doubt about that, as well he should. But here's what needs to happen. You've got these petulant little Democrats out there, and there's a very simple solution to all of this. You've got the sergeant-at-arms. The sergeant-at-arms is obligated. It is the duty of the sergeant-at-arms to maintain decorum in the House chamber. And in the event that, and oh, by the way, some of the female congressional people, the House reps are saying they're going to be bringing their eggs into the House chamber. Okay, that's a little personal. I don't know what that's all about. But look, if they decide they're going to show their eggs or whatever, then they need to be hauled out. Anybody who disrupts the president's remarks ought to be dragged out of the chamber and thrown out of the building. It's very simple. I don't know why this is a source of consternation for people, a lot of the talking heads in the media, but it is. So anyway, we'll be paying attention to the president's speech tonight. And I received a message from one of our friends in over at WSIC. And they're really hoping, Charles from WSIC, and he suggested that Trump should interject something about what happened last night. So you say, what happened last night? What's going on? Well, last night, ladies and gentlemen, while you were doing other things, the Senate, every single Senate Democrat, got together and they successfully filibustered a very important piece of legislation that was being offered up by our friend Senator Tommy Tuberville from the great state of Alabama. Senator Tuberville, of course, the longtime coach of the Auburn Tigers, and the coach is pretty much disgusted with what's been going on right now in athletics. And so we introduced some legislation called the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. And here's what it would have done. It would have stopped all these big, burly, hairy men from sharing locker rooms and bathrooms with your sweet, precious daughters. It's that simple. But the Senate Democrats, every single one of them, voted together in a block to stand with the big, burly, hairy men. Every single Democrat voted against the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. Every single one of them. And here's all it said. This is what they were opposed to. This is what they objected to. Here's the actual verbiage, that Title IX would be required to treat gender as recognized based solely on a person's reproductive biology and genetics at birth. In other words, the plumbing God gave you is the plumbing that dictates which bathroom you use. It's all very simple. More than 40 Republicans co-sponsored Senator Tuberville's very, very common sense legislation. Now, we were looking at some numbers here. Get this, 79% of the American people believe men should not compete in women's sports. 79%. That is an overwhelming number. So if you're, many of you are like, well, wait a second, 79%, that means a lot of people who vote Democrat in this country actually believe that boys should play with the boys and girls should play with the girls. So what's going on here? 100% of the Senate Democrats disagree. And the reason why is they are terrified. Many of these Democrats are terrified of these radical sex ideologues talking about the Human Rights Campaign and the Alphabet activist. I mean, these transgender people are dangerous. We've seen what they've been doing, going around shooting up schools, causing all sorts of mayhem around the country. It's scary stuff. And it's especially bad for the chicks who identify as the dudes. They're really messed up. So anyway, the Democrat Party's been hijacked by all this, and there's really nothing they can do. And I think, you know, when you've got people like, you've got the James Carvilles of the world down there in New Orleans. Yes, retired sergeant, I don't understand what my party's doing. They've lost their ever-loving minds talking about this transgender crap. Nobody cares about that. I know James Carville. I know. But it doesn't matter. Because this small radical group of sex ideologues, they literally control the Democrat Party. There's nothing that the Democrats can do. And they're going to destroy the Democrat Party, and I'm very happy for them. I say, have at it. Because, again, 79% of the American people realize there's no way that men should be competing against girls. And by the way, President Trump coming out, and he'll be addressing that hopefully tonight. Anyway, Charles says Trump should ask all of the 45 Democrat senators to stand up and be recognized for their vote and let the entire nation, as well as the voters in their respective states, see who they are and see their insanity. You people in Georgia, both of your senators voted in favor of the transgender people, both of them. And I'm telling you, it would make a great campaign ad in 2026 in the midterms. Because these people have not learned any lessons at all. They're literally working off the same talking points. And if you don't believe me, we're going to play some audio here. Do we have the version with just Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren? Do we have that? All right, we don't have that. All right. So Chuck Schumer, Pocahontas, Cory Booker, 22 other Democrats just released videos attacking President Trump and Elon Musk. And we're not going to play this whole thing because you can't understand. But they're all reading off the exact same script. So nobody even has an original thought. So this is all a very well-orchestrated attempt to take down Donald Trump using the – again, this is not even Chuck Schumer's words. These were all written for the Democrat senators, and every single one of them put out their own videos, identical videos, using the exact same scripts. Take a listen.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
That ain't true. That's what you just heard.
Since day one of Donald Trump's presidency, prices are not down, they're up.
Inflation is getting worse. Not better. The prices of gross gas, houses, eggs, essentials, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has done nothing. Goose eggs to lower prices. Instead, he's pardoned violent criminals who savagely beat police officers. He's letting Elon Musk chainsaw to vital government programs, and then even worse, giving him access to American's most sensitive data, social security numbers, health care.
All right, you guys kind of getting it figured out now? This is insanity. But I love it because we're exposing them on this program for who these people really are. Oh, by the way, I want to play this from, this is Alicia Kozlowski, and she is a Democrat, I believe from Minnesota. And she says that all you people that are opposed to boys playing in girls' sports, you are committing a genocide. I kid you not. Let's take a listen. Cut four.
Make no mistake that this is just another version of state-sanctioned bullying and genocide.
Okay, exactly. What is that? Does she even know what that word means? How many people are, how many trans, are transgender people being slaughtered by the millions? Are they be, is that what's happening here? I must have missed those headlines. But here's what I can tell you is that these young men are beating up these girls on basketball courts and volleyball courts, on soccer fields. And that is not right. That is not right, ladies and gentlemen, in my estimation. And again, I'm just, we call it like we see it here on this program. It just seems to me that this is nothing more than abuse. Like you're a man and you're going around and slapping around your girlfriend or your wife, you're beating her up. That's exactly what these young men are doing, and they're being allowed to do it because they have a uniform on. And quite frankly, these guys deserve to go to jail. I don't care if they're 17, 18 years old. You touch, you put your hands on a girl, you go to jail. Or there is another possibility here. It could be that you just let the dads of the daughters take care of business. 901-260-5926. So your take on this, folks, do you have a problem with President Trump cracking down on what's happening up on Capitol Hill with all this radical transgender stuff? Because keep in mind, President Trump has issued an executive order, and every single school that is in defiance, they must lose their federal funding. It's got to happen. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Are you looking to do something to better your health? Well, look no further than Kimchi One from Brightcore Nutrition. Kimchi One packs all the fermented nutrition of kimchi into convenient capsules, arming your gut with over 900 unique strains of probiotics, supporting gut flora and digestion. I highly recommend this product because all health starts in the gut. So putting the right fermented superfood in your gut improves every aspect of your health, your skin, your hair, your mental performance. Kimchi has even been shown to reduce your risk of obesity and promote smaller waistlines. Kimchi One is all natural, made in the USA, and non-GMO. Today, you can get an exclusive offer just for my viewers, 25% off with code ToddStarns by going to mybrightcore.com/ToddStarns. Or call my friends at Brightcore for up to 50% off your order and free shipping. Give them a call right now, 888-927-5980, and their educated staff will make sure that Kimchi One is right for you. That's 888-927-5980. Kimchi One from Brightcore. Improve your health, improve your life. 25% off with code Todd Starnes at mybrightcore.com/Todd Starnes, or call 888-927-5980 for up to 50% off and free shipping only when you call. All right, so President Trump has issued a new order, and I'm not sure this is an executive order, but he posted a message on his True Social account earlier today. And we have been seeing these domestic terrorists, and that's what they are, right? They're pro-Muslim. Many of them are Muslim, and they wear the hijabs. They're covering up their faces. They're wearing masks, and they're going out there, and they're literally attacking Jewish students. And this is happening at Columbia University. It's an ongoing issue there at Barnard College, and they're taking over buildings. They're literally attacking Jews who attend school there, disrupting classes. It's been going on for ages, ever since the Muslims attacked Israel and in the October terrorist attacks from a couple of years ago. And they've been attacking Christians on university campuses all over the place. Conservative kids have come under fire. They've been silenced. They've been bullied. Their professors have been targeting them. It is really appalling, the kinds of things that have been happening to kids on these university campuses. And nobody's done anything about it. Well, now President Trump has, and the president putting out a statement. And this is pretty exciting, because the president is cracking down. And he said, look, here's the deal. You can have your protest, but if something illegal happens, then there's going to be a price to pay. So the president announcing today that any school that allows these illegal protests will lose all federal funding. And it doesn't matter if it's a high school, if it's a community college or a university. The president says all federal funding will stop for any college, school, or university that allows illegal protest. He also announced that campus agitators will be arrested and those who are not citizens. So, in other words, you're in the country to go to school here. You go home. You get deported. And any American student who gets in trouble is going to face permanent expulsion. I love this. The president also warned that they will no longer allow any protesters to wear face coverings. And I like this, too. It's like the Klan. You know, take the pointy hoods off. I want to see who those people are. I want to see who the racists are. And over at Columbia, I want to see who the Jew. I want to see who the Jew haters are and the Christ haters. They're going to be forced to show their faces. I love this. And I'm glad to see the president finally cracking down on this hate that's infested these schools. Because, ladies and gentlemen, and we've said this over and over again on this program, is that this is the engine that's driving the hate and the division in our nation. And thanks to President Trump, they're about to run out of gas. Well done, you, Mr. President. By the way, I am curious about the state of Maine. Have we not defunded those people yet? What are we waiting around for? And this is my one concern I'm having with the administration right now is that we're not moving fast enough on some of these punishments and these crackdowns. President issued an executive order day one. There ought to be punishments. These schools are going to defy President Trump on the transgender sports stuff. Okay, great. You should be defunded. I want to see where that's happened. And I'm going to hold the administration accountable here. I'm taking them at their word. But I want to see all of this happen. I want to see the defunding take place. And I'll tell you, one of the and the problem is what's happening right now in the Justice Department with Pam Bondi. I mean, she's been all over the place. And I don't know about you, but I am concerned that we're not getting tough questions asked of, for example, Pam Bondi and what's going on here. She constantly goes on Fox News. She has been on Fox News more than she's actually been in her office at the Justice Department, and I don't understand that. So now Pam Bondi says they finally have the massive amount of Jeffrey Epstein files, and she said she was shocked they were all in New York. Why was she shocked? Those files were in New York because that is where Jeffrey Epstein was arrested. That's where Jeffrey Epstein had been charged, and that's where Jeffrey Epstein, if he had not been suicided, would have actually been on trial. So, yeah, everybody knew the files were in New York. Well, I don't know why she was surprised by this. But anyway, and we'll play some of this audio from Pam Bondi. She went back on Fox, and she's going to Fox because she knows they're not going to ask tough questions. They have become the de facto state media of the Trump administration, and I find that to be disappointing because Newsmax has a growing audience. And by the way, Newsmax has been incredibly fair to the Trump administration, and I see no reason why those White House officials should not be gracing the shows over on Newsmax. Why is it that Fox News is the exclusive TV station of choice for the Trump administration? I don't get that. I wish I understood that, but I don't get it. And this is nothing critical of the White House, but it just seems to me that they need to be able to sit down and handle tough questions in a fair and balanced way. And I'm not sure they're getting that where they're going. I'm just telling you. So we'll get into more of that coming up after the break. Also, we're going to be doing a look at the president's address tonight. We're also going to be talking to Congressman Brandon Gill out of Texas. He wants to put President Trump's face on the $100 bill. This is interesting. So he has introduced legislation that would replace Benjamin Franklin with Donald J. Trump on the $100 bill. And I posted this question on our social media pages. I was really surprised. There's a lot of pushback. A lot of people say that they want Benjamin Franklin to stay put and they don't want Trump's face on the $100 bill. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. Hey, ToddStearns.com is our website. Folks, I would encourage you to go and check it out. We have lots of great content for you there. And we also have our free podcast and newsletter for you to read as well. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait! There's more! Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. May I tell you something that happened on the... Ben Dieter, where's Dieter? Hey, Dieter, I've got to tell you about this. I don't know if you heard the story. I feel bad because I think I got the story wrong. So last night, you know, we have a huge bridge here. We have the Mississippi River here in Memphis, and there's the Hernando de Soto Bridge. It's the big M-shaped bridge over the river. Interstate 40, major, major thoroughfare. They shut it down last night.
Do we know why?
So there's video out there, and it's a little profane, so we can't share it. But apparently, you had all of these folks, and many of them were, I want to say this delicately, full-figured gals, plus size. And they were mounting the hoods of cars that were stopped. So traffic was stopped on the bridge last night. And the video shows them mounting the hoods. And at first, I thought they were actually, you know, you've been to like a car wash,
mm-hmm,
where they wax and they buff your car. I thought they were buffing the windshields of these cars. And I thought that's an odd place to do that, right in the middle of Interstate 40 in the middle of the Mississippi River. And they were doing it on the Memphis, the Tennessee side of the bridge. Not the Arkansas side of the bridge. And now I've come to find out that they were not buffing. I mean, these were just giant hindquarters. And it turns out they were actually twerking on the cars. They were not buffing. I thought they were like, you know, waxing. You know,
yeah.
Wax on, wax off.
Doing good work. But it turned out they weren't doing good work.
Right.
Yeah, they were straddling, kind of like how you straddle a horse in a saddle. They were just straddling people's Priuses. And this is a wild, wild video. It's not the first time that people have shut down, because why people shut down this bridge, if you look at transportation in the country, this is one of the biggest transporters of everything. It comes across the Mississippi River. So this is huge. This is a big deal. I think the big story here, Todd, is that none of them were arrested. They're just kind of...
Nobody got arrested.
Yeah, they had a block party on the bridge. Anybody in the right mind would say, if that's happening and you're shutting down traffic into the city of Memphis and beyond, you arrest all of them immediately, not let them twerk all over the hoods of these punch bugs.
But they know not to go across that line. I mean, half of the bridge is in Arkansas. The other half is in Tennessee. Because Arkansas State Police, they will throw your twerking butt in jail.
Oh, they'd throw them right off the bridge. They'd be off the bridge in the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
And that's maybe how you have to deal with these people. But I'm thinking for a lot of folks that are traveling through the Mid-South or maybe not stopping in Memphis, can you imagine? You're on the bridge. All of a sudden, there's traffic. You look at what's causing all the traffic. It's not a car crash. It's a ton of broads, let's face it, on top of cars. Can you imagine? For Memphians, we kind of get it because this is just another day. My God. It's insane.
Marge! Yeah. Marge!
Yeah.
That girl's got a big old badonkadonk. And she's rubbing it on that car, Marge!
Yeah.
It's true.
We call them the donut mafia.
Oh, the donut.
The donut mafia, because they'll basically just do donuts and burnouts, and they film all of this, and it ends up on the social media. It's a big
flex. I thought they ate a lot of donuts.
No.
Certainly do look like they consume a lot. All right, thank you for that. But not a single person arrested. Unbelievable. This is the kind of lawlessness that we're dealing with in these blue cities. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida, wants to weigh in on these college protests. Hey, Gary, what's going on?
Well, before I do that, Todd, two facts on that the bridge shutdown. Number one, I don't know where they found all the full-size sedans to pop up on the windshield. You know, you're not going to do a compact car with those girls. And, you know, the police might have not had the big girl zip ties. So they weren't able to.
Kind of like the, it's kind of like, I guess, who was it, the Uber driver or the Lyft driver who was unable to lift? Well, it turned out he had a passenger that was literally unliftable.
But to comment on the protesters, over the last 6 or 7 years, I mean, the stand-down orders come down, and I don't know how Donald Trump will get around those, but so many of the cities have stand-down and no interaction with protesters, and that undoes everything. I mean, I've seen, and so have you, and millions of the people have seen the protesters and push the throw bicycles at police and push against the police. And my short story to that was, 50 years ago, in the early 70s, I was riding with a buddy of mine, and he'd been drinking. Drinking age was 18. We were pulled over, and the police officer, the state trooper, was doing his investigation. So I thought I would help my buddy out and offer some legal advice, my buddy. And I was told once to shut up, and the second time I gave him legal advice, I was handcuffed and put in jail for a day, which I deserved because I was interfering with governmental justice. So I always laugh and tell my grandchildren and my children that story. I'm not very proud of it, but even the police officer and I chuckle now in my small town where I grew up because I was too dumb to shut up and spend a night in jail. So I always laugh, and they said, well, they're not allowed. They didn't do anything wrong. And I said, the police officers have a wide range. If they want to, when you're interfering or you're doing this stuff, you can go right to jail and have a booking photo with no mask on.
Well, there you go. But Gary, I'm just tired of them turning a blind eye to this lawlessness, and it's causing all sorts of problems across the country. And that's one of the reasons, you know, going back to Minneapolis when they nearly burned down the entire city during the George Floyd riots. Gary,
there's plenty of room.
Yeah,
there's plenty of room to take people into custody, and rightfully so, without any civil rights violations.
Mm-hmm. Gary, gotta leave it there, my friend. Good call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Kelly in North Carolina. Wants to weigh in on what happened on the bridge. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Love the show. There's just something I wanted to point out, and this has been a very long time ago, but I lived in Minneapolis when the 35W bridge collapsed and a lot of people were injured. I think it was like 130 some people fell from the bridge. You know, I don't understand that they would allow that the traffic would come to a standstill. Bridges aren't designed to have tons and tons and tons and tons of cars sitting at a standstill. They're designed to just go over with a specific amount of movement, specific amount of weight that they can tolerate. And I am shocked that on either side would have allowed that to go to a standstill. Now, I've never quite seen your bridge in person, so maybe I'm, you know, not understanding it. Maybe it wasn't fully suspended over water. But I would think that that would be a huge, huge hazard. No, I mean, not just only from the weight of the cars, but obviously the very big-boned girls that are over there tossing their buns around. I just kind of think there would be an issue with that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you've got a couple of 500-pound biggins out there and they're jumping up and down, I would be concerned. And what's important, Kelly, is this is a massive bridge. If you fall into the Mississippi River, you're not coming out. The current is so wicked, you're gone. I mean, that's just the reality of it. But what makes this really disturbing is that a couple of years ago, they had to shut down that bridge for about a year or so almost, because there was a massive crack in the bridge. So to your point, yeah, I mean, it is very dangerous, but the Democrats who control Memphis City Hall, they side with the criminals all the time, and they would turn a blind eye to this. They did it a couple of years ago. Dieter was actually out jogging and came across. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, I wasn't even barely wearing clothes because I was out on a very strenuous workout, and I was running, Kelly, and I look over and I see all of these protesters with the Palestinian Gaza flags, and they're walking up this massive bridge, this interstate that goes across the Mississippi River, and I called Todd. I said, what's going on? He said, follow the protesters on the bridge. I did. They shut down the interstate traffic for over 4 hours. They had traffic backed all the way up into other states. And not one of those protesters were arrested and thrown in jail for that.
Yeah, see, there's definitely a huge disconnect. You know, it's not like the people that were on their way to work who lost 4 hours of work are going to be paid for that time of being stuck on the bridge. I just think it's really a shame that there are certain areas that are still sticking it through the constituents the way they are. And that's disgusting to hear. No, I was unaware of that protest going on that bridge. But it's a shame. Makes me just want to reach out and slap the crap out of somebody.
I hear you. All right, Kelly, thank you for the call there. Jeez, it's true, though. I mean, what are you going to do? 901-260-5926. Dieter, I know you're becoming a coffee aficionado, as I am, and I am very particular about coffee.
That's a wild word.
Aficionado?
Yeah.
You like coffee. Well, it's better than a coffee nerd.
Wow.
Or a coffee snob.
A connoisseur.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm really particular about, you know, the sponsors we have on the program. And so we had a coffee company approach us, and they're owned by Christians and they're owned by conservatives. And they're like, hey, we want you to consider, you know, endorsing our coffee, and we want to come on and sponsor the show. And I was a little, you know, wary, because I'm like, well, you got to send me some of the brew because I got to try it. And if it's not good, I can't do it.
No.
So they sent it to me. The name of the coffee company is Wired, the number 2 Fish. So it's Wired 2 Fish Coffee, wired2fish.com. And got the coffee, and we brewed a whole pot of this stuff. That's some really good coffee. And so anyway, I'm a big dark roast guy. See, people call me horrible things. Sturges are racist.
You like your coffee?
I don't put cream. I don't dilute.
Does that make you anti-racist?
I don't like white chocolate either.
Wow.
But I do eat white meat on the chicken.
Where were you going with this? You've completely lost me at the...
I lost it. Sorry.
The dark roast.
I'm a huge dark roast fan. That's my jam. And so anyway, I am so excited. We're going to be talking to the owners of the company a little bit later on. But I got to share this with you because they are an amazing coffee company, and they have an incredible mission because they're also conservationists. And you know, the Bible tells us that we've got to take care of God's creation. You know, we have a responsibility to do that as Christians. And so I'm loving the mission of the company here, and they just make a darn good cup of coffee. And a lot of churches are now using their coffee and saving. One church actually saved 60%. A month just because they switched over to this coffee.
Well, every time you buy coffee from Wired to Fish Coffee, they will actually donate those proceeds to Christian organizations.
25%.
Wow.
So they give back. And I just love this. So it's, if you love, like, for example, you shop at Bass Pro Shop, you're going to love these guys. All right, Wired to Fish Coffee. And by the way, if you call them or you reach out to them and you buy coffee, use my code STARNS, and they're going to give you 10% off your first order. And it is so economical. The prices are just insanely low. So again, if you go to their website, wired2fishcoffee.com, that's wired2fishcoffee.com, wired2fishcoffee.com. Use code STARNS, and they're going to give you 10% off your first order. Again, I don't know what flavor of coffee you drink. I'm a dark roast guy, and I am a huge fan of this coffee, and I love it, and I think you're going to love it as well. Got to take a quick break. Again, Wired, the number 2fishcoffee.com.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
Welcome back. Let's go to the phones. Memphis, Tennessee. KWAM is our great affiliate there. Roberto is on the line. Hi, Roberto. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm so glad to get to talk to the Blowtorch. I've never called into your show. Hey, I wanted to know if you heard about the 5,000 pro-life protesters that marched out on the bridge and blocked it, chained themselves together and blocked the bridge for 5 hours. Did you hear about that one?
You know, Roberto, I must have missed that. I must have missed that story. I don't recall that happening.
Well, you know, the mayor and the police, the chief, and they all rushed right down there. But instead of supporting them, they brought the water counting cannons and the police dogs, and they arrested them all. In fact, the next day, they went back with a video and found the ones that got away and charged them.
I think you're yanking my chain there, Roberto.
But, I mean, I truly think that's how it would go if 5,000 pro-life supporters blocked the interstate. And I don't understand why we have such two systems of free speech.
Yeah, well, look, it's a fair question. And a couple of, well, it was, what is, a year ago when the Muslims basically laid siege to the bridge for hours. There was an ambulance stuck in that traffic on the Arkansas side, and they ended up having to airlift that individual to the hospital. And fortunately, that person survived. But, I mean, it is a very dangerous thing when you're shutting down. And you're right, Roberto, if it was a conservative group, if it was pro-lifers or Christians, we would all be in jail.
And, you know, the Black Lives Matter people some years ago did it. The police chief came down and marched with them.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. So, yeah, it's true.
You remember that?
It's true.
So anyway, I just want to point out the hypocrisy. You know, that's the danger of you know, we have free speech, but if the people in control can say speech I don't like is now hate speech, we truly don't have free speech. I think you should be able to say anything you want. If I want to say that I don't like people with red hair, I should be able to say that. Now, I can't say that we should go out and harm people with red hair. But I think that we're in this very close to losing our free speech. Because I'm almost afraid when conservatives get in power that we're also going to pop the pendulum swung so far to the right that we try to do the same thing, control the narrative by controlling the speech. That's an Orwellian concept.
So anyway, 1,000% right there, Roberto, and I'm with you. I am a conservative. I don't work off talking points from anybody, and that sometimes gets me in trouble with folks on the conservative side, but that's okay because I do believe in free speech. I do believe in the Second Amendment. And when you start curtailing those rights, you're not going to get that back. And that was my biggest concern during the China virus pandemic, is that we were surrendering our civil liberties, and that is a dangerous thing to do.
want to leave you this one thing, Rod, the conservative blowtorch. I like that one because that really belts them, really burns them up. But I always, I'm a Christian first. Whatever else I am, Republican, conservative, male, I have to look at how does God say I should do this. And then I make my decisions based on that. Tony, I'm sure you do too. I really appreciate your show, sir. Thank you.
All right, Roberto, thank you for that. And thank you for listening to KWAM, our flagship station there in Memphis, Tennessee. Folks, we would love for you to join us. And by the way, some of you live in a town where they don't carry the show. We got a solution for that. You can download our free app. Just go to toddsterns.com. You'll be able to listen to us wherever you are in America. You can even listen to us in your car as you're driving around. So again, go to toddsterns.com and you'll be able to download that free app. It takes less than 30 seconds. It's pretty awesome. So if you're stuck, you know, in the middle of a big boned girl protest in the middle of the Mississippi River Bridge, you'll be able to listen in and find out what the heck is going on. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got Brandon Gill coming up from Texas, Leah Thomas from Wired to Fish Coffee, and our good buddy, Congressman John Rose. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Wow. Hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Dieter, that we our conversation almost was broadcast border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain.
And you might not have your radio license. We had it of them.
Oh, no. Wow. We need to do sort of like a, you know, the after hours edition of the Todd Stern Show.
Baptist martinis. But they're not Baptist for me anyhow, because I'm not Baptist.
Wow. Folks, we've got a great show for you today. Hour two underway. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Leah Thomas, who is the owner of Wired to Fish Coffee Company. And they're doing some incredible work, a Christian-owned, conservative-owned coffee place. And they've got some amazing coffee. So we'll be talking to her. Also, Congressman Brandon Gill from Texas going to drop by. But right now, let's go live to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Congressman John Rose, representing Tennessee's 6th Congressional District. Congressman, an honor to have you with us today.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me on the show today.
So, Congressman, I know you guys are getting ready for, you got a long day. You've got this big primetime address tonight with President Trump. What are you guys expecting to hear from the president? What do you want to hear?
Well, I think the main focus of the president's statements will probably be to talk about the promises that he made as a candidate and the promises that he's already kept in this amazing whirlwind 40 days that has already passed. But we know that there is a lot more to do. The 81 executive orders that the president's already signed, you know, that end taxpayer-funded DEI programs and secure our border and cut waste, fraud, and abuse and restore the strength of the country on the world stage, those are all just the beginning. The president has a lot more work to do, and it's just been amazing, though, to see the efficiency and the execution coming from the White House. And then, you know, I'll I'll pat the Senate on the back for getting the confirmations of the key personnel done in quick order and with 100% success thus far. And then a pat on the back for the House passing budget resolution last week. And we brought together the Republicans necessary to get that done. And it now sets the stage for beginning the reconciliation process, which I think is going to be the real meat on the bones of effectuating President Trump's agenda for restoring the greatness of America.
And there have been some concerns that the Senate might not come back with something that would be amenable to the House. Can you give us any update there?
Well, I think the Senate had pursued a more modest strategy, I think probably in large measure because they weren't sure the House could get across the finish line. But I think we've now set the bar, and I think it would be a terrible mistake for the Senate not to rise to the occasion. And I don't think the American people would be happy about that. And so I think I look to see the Senate take the lead that the House has given them and reach, swing for the fences now in getting done so much of the president's, agenda that we can do in one big, beautiful bill as the president originally envisioned it.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Congressman John Rose representing Tennessee's 6th Congressional District. You know, Congressman, when you look at the work of the DOGE committee and all of the wasteful spending, I'm wondering if maybe a state like Tennessee should consider implementing a DOGE committee.
I don't see any harm in that, but I would say I think Tennessee has a much better track record in recent years of keeping those things under control. And so I think there's probably less to do there than there is at the federal government level. But certainly we know that the price of liberty, as the founder said, is eternal vigilance. And I think that's true in any enterprise, government, business, wherever. You have to stay on top of these things. And so, waste, fraud, and abuse, you might say, are endemic to the operation of any organization. And so I think it wouldn't hurt at all for Tennessee to take the same look that Elon Musk is leading at the federal level. You know, what we have seen in Washington, sadly, is the administrative agencies have become very recalcitrant in giving up information to the Congress. And so they really have stood in the way, particularly these last 4 years we've seen this. They've stood in the way of giving us the information to allow us to get to the truth about some of the abuse that is happening. And so that's why we see these ridiculous programs being exposed by Elon Musk and the discovery of so many places where government has gone off the tracks.
Congressman, I want to bring to your attention a story out of Nashville, WSMV-TV. This is the headline. Tennessee Congressman John Rose announces run for governor. Is that accurate? Are you running for governor? Is it official?
Well, it is not official, I guess, in that regard. I am making plans in that direction and said that at a recent speech that I gave in Williamson County last week. And so we are preparing for that, but have not yet made that official announcement, working to get all of the I's dotted and T's crossed that have to be done in order to do that appropriately.
What is it that intrigues you about the governorship in Tennessee?
Well, I have enjoyed my time in Congress, and I'm particularly looking forward to the rest of this 2-year period where we get to, the American people have been so gracious to give us a trifecta and the ability to really change the trajectory for America. And so, don't want to blink and miss the moment there. But I'm also convinced that my best days are ahead and that it is a critical time in our state of Tennessee. And we need to bring some of the same common sense to Tennessee that you see the president implementing. And I like to call those common sense approaches Tennessee values. I think that's what we do in Tennessee every day. But we're at a critical juncture. Tennessee's been very successful, but we can't just rest on our laurels. We have to continue to confront the problems that we face and continue to make improvements where we can and address the challenges that our past success and our current success have brought to us. And you know those as well as anyone. Infrastructure is under strain in Tennessee, and we have healthcare access issues in so many of our rural areas like rural West Tennessee that we need to address. And They're a growing list of those types of issues. And I guess first and foremost, I would say as a state, we have to continue to be vigilant and careful about who we invite to come and bring businesses to our state. We don't want to bring people who immediately want to change who we are as a state.
I know that Senator Marsha Blackburn, and she's been on this program talking about how she is looking at a run for the governor's mansion as well, but has not officially jumped into the race just yet. If she does that, would that impact your decision one way or the other?
It would not. I'm fully committed to going down this path, and we're making those plans, and regardless of who else, whether it's her or others that might get into this race. And so we're putting the team together to execute a successful campaign and making sure we have the resources. And I feel confident that we will. And so I plan to be, completing those plans and making an announcement in the not too distant future.
One way or the other, you're coming back home to Tennessee.
That's right. I'm going to come home and be the governor if that's what the American or the people of Tennessee so see fit for. Or I had a business at a farm and a family, and perfectly content to turn my attention back to those things. And I think that's what the founders envisioned, a citizen legislature. And so I have served for a season here. I've learned a lot from the legislative process, but I will tell you that process of legislating is very different from running a business, starting a business, leading an organization of some scale. And that those are the skills that I think are would equip me well to serve the people of Tennessee as a future governor.
So it's easier to slop hogs than it is to get legislation through up there.
I think you're right about that. No question about that.
All right. Well,
the challenges on the farm are always the unpredictable weather and the issues that are outside of your control. And of course, you face that in government, but you don't face the egos that you find in the political world.
Either way, you're knee deep in fertilizer on some days. So there you go.
You said it. Not
all
me. So.
All right. Well, Congressman, congratulations. And just again, I own KWAM, the news radio station. And, we would love for you to make an official announcement on, the Memphis airwaves one of these days.
We will definitely do that, Todd. Thank you. And it's, as always, it's a great honor and privilege to serve the people of Tennessee.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman John Rose represents Tennessee's 6th Congressional District, and he'll be among the lawmakers in attendance tonight as President Trump delivers his primetime address. By the way, we mentioned that some of these Democrats are planning to disrupt the proceedings. And this is really shocking stuff here. We don't know what they're going to be. They're apparently going to be noisemakers. There's going to be anti-Trump signs.
Well, how about the Times had a piece, or maybe it was the Post, where a lot of the Republican members of Congress are going to be wearing all pink because it is the Women's March through the halls of Congress. But no, it is Women's Month. Check me on that. I think it's Women's Month. And they say that Trump is a threat to females in this country. Coming from the same chicks who just voted yesterday to side with allowing physical or biological boys in.
So who's wearing pink?
The women.
Like Democrats or the Republicans?
The Democrats.
Oh, right,
which is very rich, right? That Democrat women who just voted hours ago to allow physical boys or biological boys into the female spaces. Rich coming from these women saying that President Trump is a threat to their biology.
Interesting. Well, all I can say is if you disrupt the proceedings, they need to throw your butt out of there. And I would love to. And you know what? I would love to see Trump in the middle of the speech. You're out of here. Sergeant at arms right over here. Boom. You're gone. That's what I'd love to see. All right. We got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Trust you're having a great today, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, you've been paying attention to what's been happening on Capitol Hill with all the hearings. The big bank executives canceling Patriots, shutting down your bank accounts, and there's really, at least for the longest time, there was really not much anybody could do about it, and that's why Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, and John Rich founded Old Glory Bank, which is an FDIC-insured bank. It was created to protect your privacy, your security, and your liberty. OldGloryBank.com/Stearns. Go check them out. OldGloryBank.com/Stearns. They now serve tens of thousands of customers in all 50 states, and you're going to be able to open up an account right now online, put your money in the hands of people that you can actually trust. Again, OldGloryBank.com/Stearns. Go check them out. If you're a veteran first responder, they have some wonderful, wonderful deals just for you. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is from Florida Congresswoman Representative Luna. And she was doing an interview with Matt Gaetz over One America News on the FBI director being removed from the DOJ because he withheld these Jeffrey Epstein documents. Cut number 9.
I'm actually waiting for a briefing tomorrow, and I did just go on X and find that apparently the FBI director in New York was just forcibly removed from his position. And so I think there's a lot developing. But frankly, look, my message was clear, and I think the mandate from the American people is we want 100% transparency. And I think that we deserve answers, whether or not it's, you know, in real time. I think, you know, not being transparent about what's happening in the process is unacceptable. And so actually, you know, after I saw that binders were given to influencers, I don't know how that transpired, but what I will tell you, Matt, is that we didn't see them, and as someone who's leading up the investigation task force, I think that it's incredibly important for the Department of Justice to be transparent with us about what's actually taking place. Look, Jeffrey Epstein was a complete criminal. He is arguably one of the worst known pedophiles we've had in U.S. history. And so I think when the American people voted for Donald Trump, they also voted for the Department of Justice to be aggressive and aggressively do their job. And so what I will tell you is we have a briefing tomorrow. I'm hoping that that briefing can provide us with answers and a timeline on when we will see the release of those Epstein files. But look, if they are going to be clear with us, I'm going to make sure that people know what's happening.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What is the timeline for your task force? It sounds like that requires other parts to move. Are you saying that there is a removal of an FBI director in New York right now because that person was frustrating the FBI and Department of Justice's release of this information pursuant to the president's directive?
As of right now, it appears to be so. And remind you, I just saw this being reported live on X, so I haven't had time to confirm it. It was literally just 1 minute before I came on the show.
Okay. Anyway, the Pam Bondi was on Fox last night working through all of this, and she is once again, she has been changing her story over and over and over and over again. But now she says that apparently she's got the information. They're going to be releasing stuff. Cut number 11, please.
The FBI hasn't had, obviously, they haven't looked at the thousands of pages of documents that they've just received Friday. Yeah. But Cash has a team going through them, and it's always about protecting the victim. But you know what? We believe in transparency, and America has the right to know. The Biden administration sat on these documents. No one did anything with them. And why were they sitting in the Southern District of New York? I want a full report on that. You know, sadly, these people don't believe in transparency. But I think more, unfortunately, I think a lot of them don't believe in honesty. And it's a new day. It's a new administration. And everything's going to come out to the public. The public has a right to know. Americans have a right to know.
And that goes the same with the JFK files,
JFK,
RFK files,
Martin
MLK.
Luther King. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
What are the things that, and maybe some people don't understand the need to redact. In the case of a victim, that should be pretty obvious to people. What are the other things that maybe you'd have to redact?
Well,
national security?
No, of course. National security, some grand jury information, which is always going to be confidential. But we'll see. Let's look through them as fast as we can. Get it out to the American people, because the American people have a right to know, not only on that, but on Kennedy, on Martin Luther King, on all of these cases that the Biden administration has just sat on for all these years. So yeah, it's really, it's not sad. It's infuriating that these people thought that they could sit on this information, but they can't. It's a new day, and we believe in transparency, and it's going to come out. And when we redact things, Sean, what we're going to do is not just pull pages out like they used to do. If something's redacted, you will know the line, and you will know why it's redacted. Like a victim's name, identifying information of a victim.
All right. So, look, she said that all of this information was supposed to have been released last week. It was not. She gave the FBI a deadline, and that deadline came and gone, has come and gone, and we still don't have any information. But now Pam Bondi just says, we're going to release the information soon. I'm just going to go on the record here. They're not going to release it. There's something in the documents they don't want anybody to see, probably impact some sort of a high-profile Republican somewhere, maybe a conservative, who knows. But they're not going to release it, and we're just going to have to deal with it and get over it. That's ultimately what that's all about. All right, I got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
And after that, all hell is going to break out.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
I will put America first.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
So President Trump has announced that we are now pausing all military aid to Ukraine. May I just say, just a silly question here. Why are we just now doing this? Why was that not done on January the 20th? I'm glad the president is getting around to doing this. But all of this is coming as a result of that crazy meeting where Zelensky acted like a jerk in front of President Trump. So the previous administration sent $65.9 billion in military assistance back in 2022. President Trump has not announced any additional aid since taking office. But anyway, whatever's out there will not be going. The president, by the way, and this is an important conversation that needs to be had. So the concern is that NATO may very well come to the defense of Ukraine. And if that happens, the United States could be drawn into an armed conflict. So I say we need to pull out of NATO. There's really no need for us to be there. Europe needs to learn how to handle its own business. Europe needs to learn how to stand up to the bullies. They've got to stop relying on us. Sick and tired of it. All right, let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. James in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC, wants to weigh in on Pam Bondi. Hi, James. What's going on?
Oh, yes. Good to hear from you. Yeah, I just think she could handle this like a whole lot differently. Why don't she just wait until she has everything in front of her instead of saying, yeah, I'm going to release it on this day, or I'm going to release it on that day. Wait till she actually has it, and then just release it. Because she's kind of making herself look a little suspicious and like she's kind of hiding some things.
Yeah, right, James? You know, it was interesting. The very first press conference she gave, she said something about charges were being filed and charges were not being filed. She misspoke. And I'm with you. I think she is too quick to run to the cameras right now. And, you know, look, that's what she used to do. She was a contributor. She loves the cameras, went on all the shows. But now she's the attorney general, and she has a job to do. And you've got to shove that aside and focus on the job at hand.
Right. Right. This is not about media. This is not about press. This is about her actually having the facts in front of her and then releasing them when she actually has this stuff. And just like what you said.
James, it's funny. I've been getting a lot of blowback on this, and I love it because they're like, if you dare criticize anything about Donald Trump or the Trump administration, then you become an enemy of the people. Well, that's just hogwash. But there are a lot of people out there that believe that. Look, Pam Bondi said something. She said she was going to do something, and she didn't do it. It's very simple to me. Be a person of your word, or to your point, James, wait until you get all the information and then release it.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. James, thank you for that call. Great advice, right? Just wait. Wait until you get all the facts. Let's go to Morehead City, North Carolina. Is this Tuner? I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
Turner. T-U-R-N-E-R.
Turner. I'm terribly sorry, Turner. My apologies. What's going on?
Well, I lived a number of years ago in an area where this men's and women's sports wouldn't have fared very well because I worked in a sawmill, and a lot of our employees were from eastern Kentucky. They drove over to work for the meager wages in a sawmill, but they were loyal to the nth degree. Because my owner's grandfather had started the sawmill, and they had kept some of those poor old guys that couldn't get anything else to do for years and years and years. And the union came in trying to organize, and those old boys, we had to call them down and say, no, 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 you're going to get an NLRB on us. Because they were telling the pro-union people, hug and kiss your children and wives goodbye, because if you win, they won't see you again. And this is guys that rode down the road to the mill on the hood of a car or truck shooting rabbits, and would be skinning rabbits up at the sawmill, three or four mornings a week.
So I know that you wanted to talk about men and women's sports. So what is how do we get? Let's turn into that conversation.
Well, the conversation there is some of those guys that made the threats there. They had guns in their vehicle every day, and if somebody had put a man on a volleyball court with one of Don Shuler's daughters or in the dressing room with him, they probably would not have gone home. He would have probably gone to jail. They handle things a different way up there than anywhere else I've ever lived, and they would not have put up with it. I haven't heard anything in the last 10 years from up there, but They were very loyal people and very set in their ways.
Indeed. Well, Turner, I appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. All right. There you go. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax TV. We're going to be giving you a full preview of the president's address tonight before Congress, before a joint session of Congress. And by the way, I want you to watch the entire speech tonight on Newsmax. Millions of Americans are going to be doing just that. They're turning off Fox News and CNN, and they're tuning into Newsmax. Reuters, by the way, says Newsmax, one of the top news brands in America, and you can find out for yourself just by making the switch. You can also download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It is free. You can start watching immediately, and we have some incredible hosts, Rob Schmidt, Rob Finnerty, Carl Higbee, Greta Van Susteren. You're going to be able to find out why millions of Americans are making that switch. Check us out again on cable, satellite TV, or you can even download the Newsmax app today. You can watch anytime, anywhere. Remember, Newsmax is real news for real people.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
And after that, all hell is going to break out.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
I will put America first.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us today, and we're very excited about a new sponsor on the Todd Stearns radio show, Leah Thomas, who is one of the co-founders of an incredible, incredible coffee company called Wired Two Fish Coffee, and we're going to share the website address with you momentarily. But I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome to the program, Leah Thomas. Hi, Leah. Hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd. Thanks so much for the time.
Well, I was talking about the coffee company earlier in the program, and I'm a big coffee fan, but I'm very particular about my coffee, and I was just so impressed with the dark roast brew that you guys have. And I'm just curious, why coffee? How long have you guys been involved in the coffee business?
Well, I mean, we've been around for about, almost 2 years, but really not well known until late last year. And we wanted to develop a product that was a consumable that we could give back from. And everybody drinks coffee. There were a couple of markets that we found that were overlooked in the coffee market. So after arduous months of tasting coffee, which obviously have paid off since you love it, we introduced our brand and we've been off to the races.
So what sort of, what were some of the things that you guys were looking for as far as like, you know, roasting your beans and flavor profiles and things of that nature?
Yeah, we sought a roaster that, I don't know how much you know about coffee roasting, but it can be everything from some guy in his garage with a roaster to some very complex roasting processes. And we wanted our coffee to be fair trade sourced because part of our give back for the brand is conservation. And so we wanted fair trade organic if possible, although certification to pay for organic is ridiculously expensive, so we haven't gone down that road. But we really wanted a flavor profile that everybody could enjoy that would have an extremely smooth finish. And so I think we tasted coffee for at least 3 months, and we settled on an Arabica blend from Guatemala and Mexico, and we probably had, I don't know, just internally 5 to 10 people tasting. But then we actually spent about 6 months doing trade shows and talking to consumers and ensuring that it actually tasted really good before we rolled it out to the mainstream marketplace.
So a lot of people have been asking about the name of the coffee company, Wired to Fish Coffee. Tell us about the name.
Yeah, we were working with a company called WiredToFish.com, and originally the brand was going to be their conservation give back. And as we worked with them, they were acquired, and the new ownership wasn't really interested in that. But my husband and I are avid anglers as well, and we could see that the fishing market could be served well with a product that would give back to fishing conservation and to clean water. And so we asked if we could license the brand, and they said yes, and since then we've developed it with a Christian give back. So we like to think that we're fishers of fish and of men.
Oh, that's clever. I like that. And you guys do donate, 25% of your profits to clean water and faith-based initiatives, including a ministry that we're very excited about that's providing clean drinking water to folks right now in places like Kenya.
You must be talking about the Filter Project. And yes, Elliot called us last fall after he'd heard one of our, I think his dad heard one of our ads on a podcast, and we were super excited about that project as well. It aligns so well with our brand by giving both clean water and a good quality of life along with the gospel. And I suppose of all of the things that we get behind, that one is one of the projects that I'm most passionate about. I love what they're doing, and we really hope to really help them make a difference in Kenya.
So you mentioned that you and your husband are anglers, and how important is that? You know, a lot of folks don't like to talk about conservation in the conservative world, but, you know, again, the Bible commands us to be stewards of what God created, and I think that's, you know, again, it's something that we need to do a better job of.
We agree completely, and we've taken some blowback from conservative friends in the industry because of the conservation stand that we take, but we feel like no one can pioneer change if someone doesn't pioneer change. And so our philosophy is that we care about the earth and we care about God's command to take care of the earth. So it's a natural fit for us. We live in Wyoming, where we're lucky enough to be near some beautiful nature all of the time, which probably enhances our desire to want to keep it pristine. But yes, I do see, however, Todd, a resurgence in the conservative space for conservation, and I expect that we're on the front end of something that could dramatically change the space.
Wonderful. Well, again, where can people go if they want to get some of your delicious coffee?
Well, if they want it super, super fresh, they should order it direct from our website. And that's wired2fishcoffee.com. We've got a special there on our 2-pound bags, which they may not be interested in trying in right away. But if they believe you about how good the coffee is, then a 2-pound bag is definitely the way to go from an economical standpoint. And I believe we've given you a discount code as well that your customers can use, Todd, and your listeners, I guess.
Yes. And again, folks, you can go to the website, wired2fishcoffee.com. That's wired2fishcoffee.com. And you'll see all the incredible products they have there. Leah, we certainly appreciate you coming on the program today. And of course, folks, you'll also be able to find out about their conservation efforts as well. Leah, look forward to having you back on soon.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Leah Thomas, everybody, with the Wired to Fish Coffee Company. So there you go. All right. Well, coming up, we're going to be talking to Brandon Gill, a congressman from the 26th Congressional District of Texas. He is a freshman in Congress. He's already making waves. He wants to actually honor President Trump by putting his face on $100 bills. And so coming up, we're going to be talking to the congressman, but I also want to know from you, do you think that's a good idea? Should we be putting President Trump's face on the $100 bill? Currently, Ben Franklin occupies that space. If you follow me on Facebook, you know I've already sent you, we've already created a graphic of what the Trump $100 bill would look like. So very anxious to hear your thoughts on that. Also, Elena Haba, a counselor to the president, she was very concerned about federal workers who got fired. Cut number 5.
So if they want to come tonight, we've heard that they're going to bring people that have lost their jobs. Yeah, you get fired. You get fired when you don't show up to work. You get fired when you are taking taxpayer dollars and you're not working for the federal government and you are double dipping. That is this administration. And by the way, the hardworking Americans that he's speaking about, they work their butts off to make up for the amount of fraud and waste that we've had in this country. And we're trying to get that money back to them. So they can cry wolf all day long. I really don't feel sorry for them. They should get back to work for the American people.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for him either. So apparently a lot of the, let me set that up for you again. A lot of the folks in Congress are apparently inviting federal workers who got fired to the president's speech tonight. And look, that's their right. If that's who they want to invite, that's who they can invite. But the reality is that a lot of Americans lost their jobs as a result of Joe Biden's failed economic policies. A lot of people lost their jobs because of Joe Biden's new Green New Deal policies. And you know what? Those people, when they went to complain about it to the White House, Joe Biden told them to go learn how to program a computer. This is insanity. So all these folks that are butthurt because they've got to go back to work now, they can't sit in their bathrobe in their homes and do their jobs. They've actually got to show up in Washington, D.C. I don't feel sorry for these people one bit. Not one bit, ladies and gentlemen. All right, don't forget ToddStearns.com. Go check it out, folks. We have a lot of content, a lot of information for you over there. Again, ToddStearns.com. And if you want to go check out that great coffee, go to Wired2FishCoffee.com. That's Wired2FishCoffee.com. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us. Hey, by the way, we're going to have a great show tonight. We're giving you a full preview on Newsmax. President Trump's speech. Be sure to watch at 5 o'clock Eastern. So, look, our next guest is a freshman member of Congress, and he's already stirring stuff up, and I like that. He wants to put the face of President Donald J. Trump on the $100 bill. I'm talking about Congressman Brandon Gill from Texas, representing the 26th Congressional District. Congressman, good to have you with us.
Todd, thanks for having me on.
So I'm curious, how did you come up with the $100 bill, and what do you have against Benjamin Franklin?
You know, I have nothing against Benjamin Franklin or any of our great founding fathers. And by the way, President Trump is restoring constitutional order to Washington, D.C., just like the founding fathers would want to see. You know, the thing that I appreciate about President Trump is that what he did whenever he came into Washington is he brought D.C. back to first principles. He asked questions like, for whose benefit should our government operate? Should it operate for the benefit of foreign countries or foreign people or foreign entities or for special interests? Or should it operate for the benefit of the American people, the American citizen? And I think that for a long time, the answer that was something that was a little unclear in Washington, and I've been so thrilled to see how aggressive he has been refocusing our federal government just over the past 40 days, and I wanted to memorialize that, so we introduced this bill to really show support and show the American people that Congress has President Trump's back.
Well, I love the idea, and I think that's a lot of fun. And you're right. I mean, this president is bringing back common sense to Washington, D.C. And I know you've been really a strong supporter of the president in your early days in Congress. I'm just curious, why run? I mean, you've been very successful in the private sector, and yet here you are, what, 31 years old, and you decided to run for Congress.
You know, I never thought that I would be running for political office, certainly not at this age. But, you know, I had a successful career in finance. I started a conservative media business that was going very well. I've got a young family. But whenever my congressman, and I live just north of Dallas in Texas, in a suburb, a city called Flower Mound, whenever our congressman announced that he was retiring after 22 years, what I realized was we have a conservative district, and we have to have conservative representation in D.C., and we've got to have representation that has the president's back, because this is shaping up, and I think we could see this coming even several months ago. This is shaping up to be one of the most transformative presidencies in modern history. President Trump has been issuing executive order after executive order, sometimes it seems like every 5 minutes. And it's doing all of the things that he told the American people he was going to do. It's refreshing to see. But we have got to have a Congress who has his back. And that means not only showing support like this bill that we just talked about, but also codifying President Trump's executive orders into law and making them permanent. That's something that I and my team have been working on doing. We've got bills to do just that. But we have got to stand with our president here.
I'm just curious. You haven't been in Congress all that long. You haven't been in D.C. all that long. Anything that's really taken you by surprise?
You know, it's one thing to see how Washington works from the outside and to, you know, I ran a media business and to report on it. It's another to see sort of how the sausage is actually made and to get to be a part of it. You know, we have a hearing tomorrow. I'm on the Judiciary Committee with the mayor of sanctuary cities, and we're going to be able to question Eric Adams and the mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu, and the mayor of Chicago, all cities that have in many ways descended into chaos because they've been harboring illegal alien criminals by statute, as a matter of policy. So getting to take part in some of these things and make these people answer for what they've been doing to the American people has been sort of a new world for me. It's something that I'm excited to be a part of and to join the fight, because we have a country to save here, and we cannot continue down the road that Joe Biden put our country on.
You know, by the way, I don't know if you heard, but a lot of your Democrat colleagues are threatening to disrupt the speech tonight. Are you guys hearing those rumblings?
You know, I've heard some reports that they may be planning something. You know, I think that they're back against a wall right now, which is that they have made it their policy all the way going back to 2015 to oppose every single thing that President Trump does. He could create world peace, peace in the Middle East, for instance, and they would still oppose him. He could be finding, for example, waste, fraud, and abuse in nearly every single federal agency and save the taxpayer millions and billions of dollars, and they would still oppose him. So, listen, they're going to do what they're going to do, but the American people stand with the president. That's why his poll numbers are so high right now. And the Democrats, you know, they can do performative stunts, and we're going to be doing substantive work.
I heard, I love this story, that you circulated a petition calling to deport Ilhan Omar. Is that true?
Well, listen, I tweeted after Ilhan Omar was caught on camera, on tape, telling illegal aliens how to evade ICE, how to get around our federal immigration laws. And I tweeted that the country would be better off if Ilhan Omar were deported, and I think that it's hard to argue with that. I think that it's disgraceful that a member of Congress, a sitting member of Congress, would be advising illegal alien Somalis on how to undermine our rule of law and our culture. And, you know, it raises legitimate questions about to whom are you most loyal? Illegal alien Somalis or American citizens? And I think that that's a question that the voters in her district should ask themselves.
I love this. I mean, I think it's a terrific idea. And again, any member of Congress that's out there helping the illegals evade capture, I think they ought to be rounded up and charged with crimes as well, aiding and abetting.
They absolutely should. And again, we're going to have a hearing on this tomorrow, specifically related to sanctuary cities, but the Democrat policy for over a decade now has been to flood our country with as many illegal aliens as possible, because they have had a longer-term political plan, an idea that these people would eventually get amnesty, become voters, and that they would vote for Democrats. It was a way of structurally rigging our elections in their favor. And that's something that we've seen for a long time, and ultimately, Democrats don't seem to have been too worried about the collateral damage of this policy, what it meant for the American people to have their communities completely transformed, to see their kids' schools flooded with fentanyl that's slaughtering American citizens, to see wages be depressed by these hordes of cheap laborers that are coming across the border. And I think that we've had enough of it. The American people have had enough of it, and that's why the president has done such a good job of securing our border. Within 40 days of being in office, we've seen border crossings down 95%, but we are going to take this country back from the left.
I love this. Congressman Brandon Gill joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, what do you want to hear from President Trump tonight?
You know, I'm excited to hear him tell the American people about his wins for the past 40 days. I just referenced the border crisis, which he's already largely solved. And remember, we were told for 4 years under the Biden administration that we needed a new law from Congress. We needed new immigration policy to secure the border, that Biden couldn't just do it by himself. Well, President Trump just did it by himself. But he's also been returning Washington and our federal policy back to common sense, getting boys out of girls' sports, shutting down, you know, blatantly racist DEI policies, opening up our energy sector so that we can drill here, drill now, and not have to rely on hostile foreign nations for our nation's energy needs. I mean, these are common sense policies. So I'm excited to hear him tout them tonight. And honestly, President Trump has a lot to be proud of over the past 40 days. You know, I had high expectations and high hopes for the president coming into his second term, and he has exceeded every single one of them.
Well, he certainly has. Well, Congressman, I know you've got a busy day, and we wish you nothing but the best. Congratulations, and keep up the great work.
Todd, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, Congressman Brandon Gill, everybody. And you know what's interesting about the congressman? He's married to Dinesh D'Souza's daughter, Danielle. So there's that connection as well. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Vice President J.D. Vance was on Fox News last night. They're all on Fox. Yeah, again, Fox News is becoming official state media now, and I wish these guys would, you know, again, the Trump administration, their comms team, they've got to start branching out a little bit. Don't be afraid to go on, you know, programs that are not Fox News programs. There are plenty of other great conservative platforms out there. Anyway, the vice president on Hannity, and he was talking about the aftermath of this Zelensky meeting, which, by the way, we now know this was all a setup, that Zelensky met with the Democrats. This was all ceremonial. The whole thing was supposed to be ceremonial. All the details had been worked out, and then Zelensky meets with the Democrats, and the Democrats tell him to pitch a hissy fit. Zelensky follows through, and it did not end well for Zelensky. So J.D. Vance explains what happened next. Cut number two.
They certainly made at least one request to come back in and continue the conversation. The president was like, look, first of all, they were disrespectful. And second of all, what are we even going to talk about? They've shown a clear unwillingness to discuss the peaceful settlement that President Trump is trying to bring to the situation. I think a lot of Americans are sort of, you know, it's useful to step back and ask ourselves, what is the actual plan here? You can't just fund the war forever. The American people won't stand for it. And by the way, Sean, if you look at European opinion polls, the Europeans aren't going to stand forever for it either. We need to bring this thing to a peaceful settlement. The president was trying to do that. He'll continue to try to do that, but you've got to have two to tango. You've got to have a negotiating partner in the Ukrainians who recognize that, you know, of course they have their views, and of course they're not always going to agree with us, but they've got to participate in the conversation. They weren't willing to do that on Friday, so the president said send them home.
And he did. And that tells me Zelensky's behavior afterwards realizes in the immediate aftermath tells me that he realized he screwed up. Shouldn't have listened to the Democrats. I'm just telling you. So we'll see how all this plays out. But again, Donald Trump now has the upper hand. in that relationship. There's an interesting story that's up on Fox I want to bring your attention to, and this is going to become a big deal as we start looking at March 14th. That's when all of the continuing resolutions have to be passed by Congress. Here's the headlines. GOP rebels fire warning shot and shut down showdown. No Doge, no deal. I love how Fox is framing this as rebels, because they're not rebels. We're talking about fiscal conservatives within the party, which used to be the party. Anyway, the House Freedom Caucus is really concerned, and they have fired off a letter to Mike Johnson and John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, against agreeing to restrict the Department of Government Efficiency in the spending bill. Now, the government shutdown is, what, March 14th. So the deadline, the clock is ticking. The Republicans are committed to backing a clean stopgap bill for the rest of the fiscal year to avoid a shutdown. Senator Rick Scott writing this, "We are deeply concerned about recent reports of Democrat demands for a government funding agreement that would perpetuate the unsustainable status quo of wasteful spending." Rick Scott writing this along with House Freedom Caucus Chairman Andy Harris and many others signing on to this. "Any attempt to use government funding legislation to dilute the president's constitutional authority to save taxpayer dollars must be rejected outright." So what they're about to agree on here and the compromise they're reaching with Democrats will impact the work of DOGE. Unbelievable. Mike Lee, Ron Johnson, Marsha Blackburn, Tommy Tuberville, among those signing this, Ted Budd of North Carolina. Scott is the new chairman of the Republican Senate Steering Committee, a group of conservatives in the upper chamber that works to influence policy and priorities in their conference. So anyway, Fox has the exclusive story. The House Freedom Caucus says they stand ready to work with both House and Senate leadership to keep the government open, but they said they will not support a government package that would be weaponized against President Trump at the very moment he is seeking to make good on the promises he made to the American people. This is all very disturbing here, folks. Very disturbing. So we're going to get some of the House Freedom Caucus guys on to talk about this as we head towards this looming shutdown on the 14th of the month. But I'm telling you right now, there are still a lot of Republicans up on Capitol Hill that do not support President Trump's agenda. And I don't know about you, but we've got to continue the work of DOGE. But beyond that, all DOGE is, the only assignment DOGE has is to find the wasteful spending. It's up to Congress to do something about it. And that's ultimately the big question here. What is Congress going to do about all of this? That's why I am very wary of everything that's happening right now. I love the executive orders, but the reality is until Congress can codify these, it all goes away once a Democrat steps into the Oval Office. So we've got to pay very close attention to all of this. All right, coming up, we're going to play some audio here. We've got some more Pam Bondi. Now you have members of Congress saying they are not too keen on Pam Bondi now, and they're not sure that she's actually going to release all of the Epstein information, even if she has it. That's going to be a big deal. So we're going to be, we'll get into that as well as your calls. Write down our telephone number. You'll need it, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Well, a generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. And I hope you will consider joining us in saving lives with food for the poor. Your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. I want you to write down the number here, 855-353-4673. That's 855-353-4673. And make a generous gift to help out these kids in El Salvador. So again, that telephone number, 855-353-4673. and you'll be able to join us as we help Food for the Poor raise these much-needed funds. We'll be right back, America.
Been in office for 6 weeks. Seems like 6 years, doesn't it? And he's been going around with his cronies touting his so-called landslide and blowout win. But he won the popular vote by 1.5%, one of the smallest ever, and he won the general election by less than 50%. So what kind of mandate is this really?
Well, it is a mandate, and I'm going to explain why. And I don't mind the question, but let me be very clear. I'm no supporter of Trump. I'm a supporter of the truth and the facts. And here's the facts. The man won every swing state. He increased in terms of his voter turnout in his favor from the standpoint of blacks, Latinos, and young voters. He increased his numbers in that regard from 2020. 89% of the counties shifted to the right. That's a mandate. We can sit up there and play around all we want to. In 2020, Trump didn't win the popular vote. He didn't win the Electoral College vote. A matter of fact, the Republicans hadn't won the popular vote, if I remember correctly, since 2004. Yeah. But they did this year. So 20 years after they last won a popular vote, they won the popular vote. They won the Electoral College vote. The man won every swing state. And on top of it all, 89% of the counties shifted against. I don't understand how people can look at that and say, there's no mandate. There's a mandate.
Well, it's a different definition of a mandate, I guess.
But the problem is that if you're the Democratic Party and you lost 49.8% to 48.3% and you're looking at that 1.5% dip, that's an excuse for you to say, what we did really wasn't that bad.
Well, some people didn't
we should
show
continue
up.
To do that.
Do you
no,
think that those,
don't continue the, to do that. Find a new strategy.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith going toe-to-toe with those feminazis over on The View. Good for you, sir. And he's right. You may not like Donald Trump. It's okay. It's all right. But the reality is he got a mandate, and he is governing with a mandate. Hey, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Dave in North Carolina. Dave, what's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm hearing this stuff about continuing resolution again, and all these, you know, we've normalized it to the point where we just call it a spending bill. And every 90 or 120 days or whatever, we have all the drama and people run around and we're, oh, it's hectic. And at the last minute, the tense dramatic music comes in and it's a spending bill. And what are we going to do? Oh, no. And it always turns out the same, where more money gets wasted. Nobody's doing their job. One of the main functions of Congress, remember the people with the power of the purse, who, like drunk sailors on a date with Biden, could never say no about spending. And, you know, so we don't have a balanced budget. We haven't had one in years. We give more to illegal aliens than we do to veterans. Now we make veterans pay for things that they didn't used to have to pay for and deny them services while we put illegals in hotels. And you know what? We hear about the big swing with the new administration, but it's still happening. And, you know, here in the 3rd District, I remember a few years ago, you were saying, well, if the voters call out, and I have called out on my congressman, he is not my representative. He in no way represents me. And that's Greg Murphy here in the 3rd District, who came out on the last debt ceiling thing and said, well, we have to raise it because we've never defaulted on our loan. And we can't afford to pay the interest. The debt is so high. And so we raise the debt. And what a sophomore thing. We're way past when the adults should have said, no, no more spending. And not one member of Congress is doing that. I remember way back when Paul Ryan and Patty Murray joined up and they decided that there wasn't enough money for illegals. So they were actually going to tap into military retirements and, you know, the people that make those little bitty pensions and make them pay for the deficit and what they were spending on the illegal.
Well,
when is this going to turn around? Because we all say, oh, we support the veterans. Well, no, we really don't. We really support the illegals. And it doesn't matter who's in office, because all the time at night, you know, during the last administration, we were flying these flights in, and they were landing here and there. And somebody was paying for those airplanes. somebody was moving those people around. I know that
right.
Greg Abbott.
All right. Well, let me jump in here. My turn now. I gotta jump in here, Dave, and get a word in. Look, the reality is it's probably not going to change, and which is one of the reasons why I'm fired up about Pam Bondi. Look, we've been down this road before. It's like the Doge. This is all great political theater right now, but until Congress decides to do something about that money and that spending and the allocations, they're going to keep getting that cash. I mean, that's just the cold, hard reality. I appreciate the fact that Linda McMahon just got confirmed, but I'm just wondering, why is the Department of Education still open today? Her job is to start shutting that down. Let's start acting on all of these promises. So, I mean, I'm happy with where things are going, and I'm very happy with what President Trump has been doing, but we cannot, look, I just know how these people are. I do, Dave, and if we don't take a stand and demand that they follow through, then you're going to get the kind of congressman you've got out there who says he's going to do stuff but does the exact opposite. Dave, I got to run. Thank you for the call. It's true. I got to say something about Dolly Parton. You know, I like Dolly. I know that she's on the other side of the aisle, but she does not inject politics into a lot of what she does, and I'm fine with that. Stuff like that doesn't really bother me. She's done a lot of good. And Dolly Parton, her husband Carl Dean, died on Monday. You know, they were married, Ben Dieter, for nearly 60 years, and nobody ever knew about this guy. He was completely in the shadows, and that's the way he wanted to be. 82 years old, this guy, Carl Dean.
60 years is quite remarkable for someone in the public eye like Dolly Parton, and maybe that was the secret. The husband stayed in the back.
He did. He didn't like the country music industry. He was a heavy metal guy, a hard rocker.
I think it's a wonderful story in the way that they met. They met when they were 18 years old. He was a couple years older than her.
They met at a laundromat in Nashville, and then he had to go off and join the Army, and so they got engaged, and it was really love at first sight. But he really did not like the music industry at all.
And who can blame him? But I think what Dolly has said in multiple interviews, she spoke to the AP a couple years ago, and she said, really, the secret to our longevity of our marriage, obviously, he was a great supporter of Dolly's work, but he wanted to remain out of the headlines. You know how the industry loves and would salivate with any of these stories and these broken marriages. It literally is clickbait. And she refused. She was territorial, so to speak, of this guy. And she didn't want the ladies hitting him up.
He was not a country music fan, by the way. He was a big Led Zeppelin guy, and he liked bluegrass music. So it was, and he didn't even, so a lot of people, he managed her career. No, he was completely hands off. She has business managers. He had literally nothing to do with his wife's music career at all. He was a paving guy. Mm-hmm. He owned his own business.
Yep, right there in Nashville.
You know, it's when you think about it, here's a guy, never wanted the spotlight. He had the spotlight. He could have gone to all of these things. He never did. He doesn't have a Facebook page, doesn't have X, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, nothing. But he's got had a smoking hot wife, and he was pretty darn content.
Yeah.
I think she dressed up like a Playboy bunny for like one of his birthdays. I mean, you know, hey, all right.
He's well taken care of. Now, especially, Dolly says, obviously, he's in heaven. So, yeah, it's a remarkable story, and I think the big one here is just 60 years of marriage. I mean, that's insane.
So there's a story. Back at Fox News, we used to play this song, in the newsroom.
What song?
Jolene.
Jolene?
We used to play in the Fox News radio newsroom. It was a lot of fun. And the whole, you know, we'd just stop what we were doing and start singing along. Anyway, this was like a hit song back in 73, and it turns out it is based on a bank teller who was trying to hit on her husband at the time. And so she actually went down, and she noticed her husband was spending a lot of time at the bank, and she told him to knock it off, and she wrote a song about it called Jolene.
So the husband was actually the reason for Jolene. This is fascinating because that is one popular song.
It really is. And, of course, you also know that there's another song, I Will Always Love You. Mm-hmm. That's the song that was made. It was made famous by Dolly Parton,
by the way.
But this was a Whitney Houston, Whitney Houston right. song, and made the everybody thought, oh, this is Whitney Houston's song. No, it was Dolly Parton. And Dolly was asked about that, if she was like envious or, what she thought about it. And she said, absolutely not. She goes, it's just a beautiful song. And for Whitney Houston to be able to take that song and take it to another level, she loved that. And that just goes to the heart of who Dolly is.
Yep. We love Dolly. But yeah, I don't blame her. I mean, you've got to think she probably knew the industry better than anybody, especially back in those days. And she didn't want anybody touching her man. And I love that she turned it into a lyric, because I think we all know Jolene and we've all been singing Jolene. Who knew? It was Carl Dean, the man behind the lyrics.
You got to love it. Wow. It's really a great marriage, because again, they weren't in the spotlight. He was doing what he wanted to do. She was doing what she wanted to do, and they loved each other. What a great love story. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Just because you can. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. Talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me.
All right, so last night, the Senate Democrats, I just don't get these people. So the Senate Democrats have decided to filibuster the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. This would have required Title IX to treat gender as the plumbing that the good Lord gave you. Our good friend Senator Tommy Tuberville co-sponsored this. More than 40 Republicans signed on. I think every Republican should have signed on to this. But here's where it gets squirrely. They did a survey. 79% of Americans believe men should not compete in women's sports. 79%. And yet 100% of the Senate Democrats disagree with that. It goes to show you just how far to the left the Democrats are, completely out of step with the American people on this issue. And I am telling you, push is about to come to shove when it comes to the state of Maine, because President Trump is going to have to step in and just yank the federal funding. I hate it for all of our friends in Maine, but the reality is that's the way it's going to be. And we've got to start playing hardball, and then I think you will start to see a lot of these states begin to comply with the president's executive order. But again, 79% of Americans say men should not compete in women's sports. Have you seen this one bit? There's this one video of some guy. He was like 6 feet tall and, just towered over all the other girls on the basketball court. And I think he left like three or four girls on the floor. They were crying.
So the silver line to this is every one of those Democrats that voted against protecting women, they all will be primaried, hopefully. Elon Musk needs to take some of that big, wonderful money in his pack, and he needs to do his dead level best to run commercials letting every one of those constituents in the senators' districts that they are anti-women and anti-common sense.
And they are.
And that's the silver line. Let's win.
Interesting story here. Vegan kids who seek food from meat-eating families may lack nutrition or crave the forbidden. This is from the Daily Mail. Children whose families have implemented vegan diets in their homes have been seeking playdates with children of meat eaters so they can try food they can't get at home. Can you imagine those conversations in second grade?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Billy, does your mommy, does she make meatloaf with, like, beef, cow meat?
Well, this is really sad because these kids would go to, every kid gets the public school lunch, and these kids, unfortunately, are forced to remove all the pepperonis from your already skimpy cafeteria pizza. Can you imagine? A, that sucks. B, that would be debasing. But you got to please mommy and daddy who are vegans. And let's keep in mind, vegans, they're not only just vegetarian stuff. They won't eat, they won't drink milk. They won't touch anything. An egg, for example. Nothing.
It's a good point. Fortunately, I grew up in a meat-eating family. So there you go. Let's go to the phone lines. Black conservative calling in Cordova, Tennessee. Black conservative, what's on your mind?
I am the most erudite mind, brilliant thinker, and political philosopher, giving you the hard facts, the actual facts, drawn from the most reliable source, which just happens to be my treasure of knowledge. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Well, I'm good, but we're about to run out of time here, black conservative.
I just want to say, I know. I just want to say the reason these Democrats are cutting and running tonight, they're going to cut and run from the address the president's going to get, is because they don't want to face the guest that's going to be there tonight, you know, because it's going to expose them, you know, and this is the thing they fear the most. Like you said a minute ago about women's sports, Democrats, they all voted, you know, well, about 45 of them voted against, you know, preventing men from playing in women's sports. So they're not just, you know, it's just a smokescreen for them saying where Trump attitude with Zelensky was, you know, unpresidential. That's not the case. The reason they couldn't run and running tonight because of the guest that's going to be there that's going to expose their radical ideology, and the American people are going to see that Democrats are not for women. They're not for the common American. They just want to advance their radical socialist agenda, and they're going to be exposed tonight when the guests show up. Those wonderful law-abiding citizens show up and see how Democrat policies have ruined their life.
Mm.
That's why they couldn't run, because they're going to be embarrassed.
I know. I think you're onto something there. I know that First Lady Melania Trump announced earlier today, black conservative, she's going to have the mother of Lakin Riley sitting with her. Also, Corey Compratore's family. He's the firefighter that was killed during the assassination attempt. So I think there are going to be those people there, the Democrats are going to have to come face-to-face with those folks. Black conservative, got to leave it there, my friend. Good hearing from you. All right, folks, hang tight. We've got a big night ahead of us. We'll be weighing in on all of our social media platforms. You can check those out at toddstearns.com. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great rest of your day. Be good, America.